Srila Prabhupada left India. And, of course, he left on the Jaladuta. So, the first volume. So I want to read just a little bit from the Prabhupada Lilamrita about Srila Prabhupada leaving India. I'll just read two pages. Prabhupada, Om Gana Tivananda Sha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shikavay Namaha. So, for this particular section of the Prabhupada Lilamrita, there's a discussion of how Prabhupada was extremely determined to go to America, and so much so that he, in order to get his free ticket, he sat on the steps of Sri Sumati Moraji's office for hours and hours waiting for her to come out. And then he needed a P form to get out of India. And first they wouldn't give it to him. This is like a form that has to do with income tax. In other words, to get out of India, at least in those days, you had to show that you paid your income tax. And Prabhupada basically probably didn't pay any income tax because he was a sadhu. You know, a sadhu was not going to pay income tax. So, anyway, so they didn't want to give him the P form, and finally he went to the boss and sat down, and he just pushed his way into the office, great determination, and finally they said, here's your form. So finally, we'll start here. Finally, Mrs. Moraji scheduled a place for Srila Prabhupada in one of her ships, the Jaladuta, which is the sea messenger, which was sailing from Calcutta on August 13th. She had made certain that he would travel on a ship whose captain understood the needs of a vegetarian and a brahmana. Mrs. Moraji told the Jaladuta's captain, Arun Pandya, to carry extra vegetables and fruits for the Swami, and Mr. Chokshi, that's the secretary of Moraji, spent the last 2 days with Bhaktivedanta Swami in Bombay, picking up pamphlets of the press, purchasing clothes, and driving him to the station to catch a train. He arrived in Calcutta only a few days before the Jaladuta's departure. Although he had lived much of his life in the city, he now had nowhere to stay. It was as he had written in his Vrindavan Bhajan, which was written sometime before then. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything, but I have no money, so they are all a fruitless glory. Although in this city he had been so carefully nurtured as a child, those early days were also gone forever. Where have my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Everybody should read this Vrindavan Bhajan. It's really powerful, potent, and it'll awaken in you a spirit of renunciation. Out of the hundreds of people and determination to preach Krishna consciousness, not simply to be interested in your own Krishna consciousness, but to be interested in the Krishna consciousness of others, in the mood of Arjuna in preaching Krishna consciousness. Fighting, Prabhupada said, the preachers are in the mood of Kshatriyas. Of the hundreds of people in Calcutta whom Bhaktivedanta Swami knew, he chose to call on Mr. Sishur Bhattacharya, the flamboyant kirtan singer he had met a year before at the governor's house in Lucknow. Mr. Bhattacharya was not a relative, not a disciple, nor even a close friend, but he was willing to help. Bhaktivedanta Swami called at his place and informed him that he would be leaving on a cargo ship in a few days. He needed a place to stay, and he would like to give some lectures. Mr. Bhattacharya immediately began to arrange a few private meetings at friends' homes, where he would sing and Bhaktivedanta Swami would then speak. Mr. Bhattacharya thought the sadhus leaving for America should make an important news story. He accompanied Bhaktivedanta Swami to all the newspapers in Calcutta, the Hindustan Standard, the Amrit Amrita Bazar Patrika, the Yugantas, the statesman, and others. Bhaktivedanta Swami had only one photograph, a passport photo, and they made a few copies for the newspapers. Mr. Bhattacharya would try to explain what the Swami was going to do, and the news writers would listen. But none of them wrote anything. Finally, they visited the Dainik Basumati, a local Bengali daily, which agreed to print a small article with Bhaktivedanta Swami's picture. Mr. Bhattacharya continued to assist Bhaktivedanta Swami with his final business and speaking arrangements. Mr. Bhattacharya speaks here, quote, "We took a hired taxi to this place and that place, and he would go for preaching. I never talked to him during the preaching, but once when I was coming back from the preaching, I said, 'You said this thing about this, but I tell you, it is not this, it is this.'" He was arguing with Prabhupada. "I crossed him in some way or argued, and he was furious. Whenever we argued and I said, 'No, I think this is this,' then he was shouting. He was very furious." So here was this guy who was helping him, you know, just a professional kirtan singer, which basically means he probably wasn't following the rules and regulations, which is part of the professional kirtan scenario in India. But Prabhupada just really wanted to, like Nrisimha Guru, really wanted to make the philosophy very clear in people's minds, even this guy's mind. He said, "You are," this is Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, "You are always saying, 'I think, I think, I think.' What is the importance of what you think? Everything is what you think, but it doesn't matter. It matters what Shastra says. You must follow." I said, that's the Bhattacharya, "I must do what I think, what I feel. That is important." He said, "No, you should forget this. You should forget your desire. You should change your habit. Better you depend on Shastras. You follow what Shastra wants you to do and do it. I am not telling you what I think, but I am repeating what the Shastra says." Wow. The day before his departure, Bhaktivedanta Swami traveled to nearby Mayapur to visit the samadhi of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Then he returned to Calcutta. He was ready. He had only one suitcase, an umbrella, and supply of dry cereal. He did not know what he would find to eat in America. Perhaps there would be only meat. If so, he was prepared to live on boiled potatoes and the cereal. His main baggage, several trunks of his books, was being handled separately by Syndia's cargo. 200 three-volume sets. The very thought of the books gave him confidence. Actually, one of the devotees gave me a present of one of the books the other day. I have it in my house. We're going to put it in a glass case when we finish all the construction and everything. It's one of the original books that Prabhupada brought over. When the day came for him to leave, he needed that confidence. He was making a momentous break with his previous life, and he was dangerously old and not in good health. And he was going to an unknown and probably unwelcoming country. To be poor and unknown in India was one thing. Even in these Kali Yuga days, when India's leaders were rejecting Vedic culture and imitating the West, it was still India. It was still the remnants of Vedic civilization. He had been able to see millionaires, governors, the prime minister, simply by showing up at their doors and waiting. A sannyasi was respected. The Shrimad Bhagavatam was respected. But in America, it would be different. He would be no one. A foreigner, and there was no tradition of sadhus, no temples, no free ashrams. But when he thought of the books he was bringing transcendental knowledge in English, he became confident. When he met someone in America, he would give him a flyer, "Srimad Bhagavatam, India's message of peace and goodwill." It was August 13th, just a few days before Janmashtami, the appearance day anniversary of Lord Krishna. The next day would be his own 70th birthday. During these last years, he had been in Vrindavan for Janmashtami. Many Vrindavan residents would never leave there. They were old and at peace in Vrindavan. Bhaktivedanta Swami was also concerned that he might die away from Vrindavan, That was why all the Vaishnava sadhus and widows had taken vows not to leave, even for Mathura, because to die in Vrindavan was the perfection of life. And the Hindu tradition was that a sannyasi should not cross the ocean and go to the land of the Malechas. But beyond all that was the desire of Shilavati Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And his desire was non-different from that of Lord Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that the chanting of Hare Krishna would be known in every town and village in the world. Mr. Bhattacharya and Bhaktivedanta Swami took a taxi down to the Calcutta port. Bhaktivedanta Swami was carrying a Bengali copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he intended to read during the crossing. Somehow, he would be able to cook on board. Or if not, he would starve. Whatever Krishna desired, he checked his essentials. Passenger ticket, passport, visa, P form, sponsor's address. Finally, it was happening. Srila Prabhupada, with what great difficulty I got out of the country. Some way or other, by Krishna's grace, I got out so I could spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Otherwise, to remain in India was not possible. I wanted to start a movement in India, but I was not at all encouraged. The black cargo ship, small and weathered, was moored at dockside, a gangway leading from the dock to the ship's deck. A gangway is like just like a wooden platform that you walk up, like planks, like walking the planks. It's not exactly like walking the planks, but it's tilted, so you walk up here, gangway. That's called a gangway. It's not like the modern ships that you actually pull in and then the dock comes to meet the ship and you just like roll your bags and your booze off of the ship. In Europe it's like that, isn't it? When the ships go from one country to another, everybody has these little trolleys with booze in it. That's their consciousness. So Indian merchant sailors curiously eyed the elderly saffron-dressed sadhu as he spoke last words to his companion in the taxi and then left him and walked determinedly towards the boat. For thousands of years, Krishna Bhakti had been known only in India, not outside, except in twisted, faithless reports by foreigners. And the only swamis to have reached America had been non-devotees, Mayavadi impersonalists. But now, Krishna was sending Bhaktivedanta Swami as his emissary. And then finally, the other words of Mr. Bhattacharya. He was alone, a lone fighter. When he left, there was no one on the shore to bid him goodbye. No friends, no supporter, no disciple, nobody. Even if you call me, I was not a disciple of his. I was a disciple of somebody else. So I was not his follower. But due to shared love, I had very much respect for him. So I was the only person standing on the shore to say him goodbye. No one was with me. I could not know that it was such an important thing. It's amazing. So maybe we're going to Bhagavatam. The point is, if you actually think about it, like Calcutta was Prabhupada's hometown. So obviously, you know, Prabhupada had acquired many different acquaintances in Calcutta. I mean, he was brought up in Calcutta. His family was in Calcutta. And of course, his businesses were in different places. But basically, Calcutta was his hometown. And there he was leaving his hometown where his family was before, his father, his mother, his sisters, everybody, and nobody was there to see him off. You know, it's just like, it's like heart-wrenching when you think about it. Like leaving somewhere where you spent your whole life and then going to a country that you don't know if they have vegetables. Whew, that's pretty heavy. With practically like Prabhupada said $10 worth of rupees, which he wasn't able to change anyway, because in America nobody would accept rupees, and just a few cases of books. I mean, that is real avaya sapla sham shuddhi, jnana yoga vapastitihi, the saintly quality of being free from fear, because he is completely convinced that Krishna is there. That's how one becomes free from fear. Okay, so unless there's some comments, we'll go on to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And, all right, we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 10th chapter, text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sadunam Sama Chitanam Mukunda Charanaishanam Upekshai Ken Dwana Stambar Asadbir Asad Ashrayahi Sadunam Samachitanam Mukunda Charanaishanam Upeksha kim dana stambar Asadvira sadashrayai Sadhunam samachitanam Mukunda charanayishanam Upeksha kim dana stambar Sadvirasadashayahe Sadhunam samachitanam Mukunda charanayishanam Upeksha kim dadhastam bhair Sadvirasadashayahe. Sadunam of saintly persons. Samachitanam of those who are equal to everyone. Mukunda charana eshinam, whose only business is to serve Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of God. And who always aspire for that service. Upekshahai, neglecting the association. Kim, what? Dhanastambahai, rich and proud. Asatbihi, with the association of undesirable persons.
An association of undesirable persons.
Asat Ashayahi.
Asat Ashayahi.
Taking shelter of those who are asat or non-devotees.
Taking shelter of those who are asat or non-devotees.
Translation. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? To repeat, saintly persons, sadhus, think.
Saintly persons, sadhus, think.
Of Krishna 24 hours a day.
Of Krishna 24 hours a day.
They have no other interests.
They have no other interests.
Why should people neglect the association?
Why should people neglect the association
of such exalted spiritual personalities?
Of such exalted spiritual personalities.
And try to associate with materialists.
And try to associate with materialists.
Taking shelter of non-devotees.
Taking shelter of non-devotees.
Most of whom are proud and rich.
Most of whom are proud and rich.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
A sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak. That means worships me Ananya without any other activity. So then, Titik Shiva Kurunika Sudha Sarvadena Ajata Shatva Shunta. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. That's from the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, text 21. A sadhu is suhrida sarvadeena, the friend of everywhere. Why then should the rich, instead of associating with sadhus, waste their valuable time in association with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man could take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement, and here it is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association with the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Narottama Das Thakur has said, Satsangachari koino asate vilas te karane lagila ye karma banda pongs. If we give up the association of sadhus, saintly persons engaged in Krishna consciousness, and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth for this purpose, our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to an avaishnava, one who is not a devotee of Krishna, and sat refers to a Vaishnava, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of Vaishnavas and not spoil one's life by mixing with avaishnavas. In Bhagavad Gita, the distinction between Vaishnava and avaishnava is enunciated. Namam duskritino. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna is a most sinful person, duskriti, a rascal, muha, and the lowest of men, naradama. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Great. So, sadhanam samachitanam mukunda chadanai shinam upeksha kim dhanasnam bhai asadhi rasada shrayahai. So, omagana timananda shah. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Minitam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So here, the word, of course, Vaishnava is used. And Prabhupada even said that the Christians can be considered Vaishnavas too. It's interesting. Or any religion, if they're dedicated to God, can give some advice on this. However, there's a distinction. I'm not going to make a sectarian distinction right now. I'm going to make a distinction based on Shastra, not based upon the temporary designation, whether one is Jewish, Christian, Hindu, blah, blah. Like, of course, blah, blah is not religion. But whatever. The distinction is based upon whether one is a Kanishka, Majjhima, or Uttama Adhikari. And in the Kanishka category, we have people doing devotional service in the modes of passion and in the mode of ignorance as well as in the mode of goodness. This is Lord Kapiladeva's statement, because Prabhupada here is quoting from Lord Kapiladeva about the qualities of a Vaishnava. That's from the third canto, Lord Kapiladeva's instructions. So, Lord Kapiladeva also talks about devotional service and devotees in different modes of nature. So, devotional service in the mode of goodness is one is doing it basically to get liberated, to get the hell out of the material world. And in the mode of passion, you're doing it just because you want some gain for it. I mean, let's take the example of Shukracharya. Everyone's heard about him. He's the seminal guru, Kula guru. And Shukracharya, he advised Bali Maharaj to worship Vishnu. So it appears, you know, he's a Vaishnava. Wow. But when Vishnu came, he said, no way, Jose. Don't give it all to Vishnu. He's coming to take everything away. So that's devotional service in the mode of passion, that he wants something for it. So, so you actually find that amongst different devotees. And also devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement. And the symptoms of those in the mode of passion and ignorance are envious, proud, going on the internet and criticizing other devotees. That's not mentioned in the third canto. But, you know, critical, you know, envious and proud, finding fault, like that. Whereas one of the mode of goodness doesn't really find fault. And also there's devotional service that's transcendental, which it's described by Lord Kapiladeva. It's like where one's mind automatically flows to the lotus feet of Krishna, like the Ganges or rivers flow to the ocean. That's a transcendental devotional service. So, insofar as our association is concerned, we have to be careful. I mean, here's another example of devotional service in the modes. Daksha. Everybody knows Daksha? I mean, he was such a great personality. He even saw Lord Vishnu. You know, he was doing devotional service, and it was his authorized devotional service. It wasn't that, you know, he just dreamt up his own devotional service. His devotional service was given to him by Daddy, Lord Brahma. What is that? And his devotional service was, go out there and propagate the race. You go have a whole bunch of kids. Yeah, he's a Prajapati. Yeah, that's his devotion and service. Anyway, and Krishna actually says, you know, that sex life according to the rules and regulations and dharma is a representative of him. There's nothing wrong with that. But he was doing it with a motivation. See, it's his authorized devotional service. Nothing unauthorized about it. But what was the motivation? Or the mixed. You know, first of all, he wanted to satisfy his preceptor. But it was mixed with a desire to enjoy food of desire. There's passion there. And so what happens is when you have a desire for something, you know, we know from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Jayato's Vishyat Sangat, Sangas Taishita Jayate, Sangat Sanjayate, Kama Kama Krupa Jayate. When one is in the mode of passion, you're attached to the results, and when you don't get the results, guess what? You get angry. Or, nowadays, depression. anger, depression. And then you have to take some pills and go see a psychiatrist or something like that. So anyway, so you'll get what you want. Because like you see sometimes, it's not me driving, but I mean someone else is driving the car, I'm in the car, and someone pulls out in front of us real quickly, and the person who is driving the car, which I'm in, pushes the horn down. I said, you can push it down, but not keep it down for 2 minutes. I want to teach them a lesson. Oh my God. Actually, in Australia, if you do that, they come out and they beat you up. That's why, when I was in Australia, I asked the devotees, why does no one ever honk the horn here? Is it because they come out of the car and they just smash you. So anyways, that's frustration. And that indicates, if we're getting angry or depressed or something, that means it's the mode of nature we're in right now. It's not really Shuddha Vaishnavism. So, in other words, so when we're looking for associations, we should find those who are transcendental. I mean, like Prabhupada. I mean, here's an example of Prabhupada. He was coming to America, not like everybody else comes to America. You know, was it the Statue of Liberty? Give us your poor and huddled masses yearning to be free, right? Actually, there was one person in the U.S. government, I know who it is, I'm not going to mention his name, who added a line to that. And he said, yearning to be free, but they must have sufficient resources. Did you hear about that? Yeah, anyway. So, you know, people come to America because it's the land of opportunity. It was the land of opportunity until the present situation occurred. Anyway, so it's the land of opportunity. So Prabhupada came to America. He wasn't thinking, wow, now I'll enjoy, I'll get a lot of disciples, I'll go to Disneyland. I don't even know if Prabhupada heard about Disneyland. Probably not. He was just thinking, what was he thinking? Let me please my spiritual master. And let me carry out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that in every town and village, his name would be heard. That's pure devotional service. That's a sadhu. Because the word sadhu is very interesting. In this particular verse, you have asadbir, asad, ashraya, and also sadhunam. So the same word is there, which is sat. You understand sat? It's like you have the sat, chit, and ananda. Everyone wants ananda without sat. Does everyone understand that? Everyone wants bliss, but they don't want be absorbed. They want bliss in the material world. Everyone wants bliss in the material world, but you can't have that without sat and chit. That's why sat and chit come before ananda. So anyway, sat basically means eternal. So a sadhu, or a sadhunan of the sadhus, is always absorbed in the eternal. Nasato, another verse in the Gita, what is it? Nasato vijite bhavo, nabhavo vijite sabha. Ubi arapi drishta one plus 21. 20 on sattva darshani. The sadhu considers the things that have a beginning and an end, the things that are temporary, to be like will of the wisp, unreal. In other words, he may see a fancy car. I always use the example of Tesla. He sees a Tesla, instead of, like me, thinking, wow, fantastic. He's thinking, it's temporary. Yes, it's there. We can use it in Krishna's service, but it's temporary. He doesn't go, wow. You never hear a Prabhupada go, wow. like we go wild. Like this morning I was walking and I saw the full moon, or it's not quite full because 2 days ago it was full. I went, wow. You know, so it was beautiful. So I went, wow, what can I say? And but Prabhupada never go, wow. You know, Prabhupada was not enamored by any of the temporary things of this world, like we are, isn't it? Wow. Look at that computer. Wow. Like some romantic man going, wow. Look at that beautiful girl, or the girl with the, wow, isn't he macho, or wapo. Wapo, sorry, wapo. That means, anyway, I'll translate for handsome. So, you know, so, but Prabhupada never said, wow, because it wasn't like, he was sadhu. He'd think, you know, it's temporary. It was temporary, it's wow. So what's a wow about it? And so, but when he would see something beautiful like a kirtan or the deities, just like I got a message yesterday on WhatsApp, or 2 days ago on WhatsApp, because I had sent a picture of Balaram, of, not a Balaram, but a picture of Radha Lokananda Balaram's appearance day. I got a wow back from the devotees. Some of the devotees said, wow, these are the most beautiful deities and well-cared-for deities in the movement. And that was devotees in Germany who said that. So that's a wow. Because that's eternal. That's eternal. So that's really what a sadhu is. He's absorbed in the eternal. And of course, the eternal is, according to Srila Prabhupada, Krishna and those things which are related to Krishna. Of course, you also have sadhus who are impersonalists. But they cannot remain absorbed. They may be come to the point of temporarily being absorbed in the eternal, but the Bhagavatam says, Ruya Kachena Param Padam. Ultimately, they fall down from that so-called absorption in the eternal, you know, in the Brahman, in the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in other words, even in, like Prabhupada here says, it's very interesting, this verse, he said, one should not avoid the association which is now available over the world with the form of the Krishna conscious movement. So even in the Krishna conscious movement, you have to distinguish. I mean, that's why Rupa Goswami says, you know, for someone who's just chanting Hare Krishna, you offer respect to the mind. If someone is initiated, you offer, you know, friendship. And someone who's more advanced, then you serve that particular person. So you have to have that ability to discriminate. And discriminate means to be able to see someone's actions and words. Not simply, you know, sentimental, like we mentioned many times before. Let's say outside of the Krishna conscious movement, there's people who lead kirtans that'll make you cry. But they may be eating meat. I mean, I gave that example of this fundraising concert we had one time, and the whole band, they were getting our congregation, oh, they're so wonderful, chanting about Radha and Krishna, oh, Govinda, Radha, Radha. And then afterwards we had to supply the band with liquor after the concert. So I'm not saying, hopefully it's not going on in our movement amongst the devotees, you know, I'm not going to go down and check the walk-in refrigerator after this. But you have to, even amongst the devotees, you have to be able to distinguish who do you want to serve, who do you want to associate with. And it's takes some discrimination. Those are absorbed in sadhu. Okay. On a happy note, not temporary video games. Happy note, all those.